Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. Hey, welcome back to It's Time for Coffee. I'm so glad that you're here. If you're listening to this on the week this episode airs, Merry Christmas. I'm so excited for Christmas this year. Even though it feels like Christmas has lasted forever, I'm just excited that this week is Christmas week and we get to pull back and celebrate with our family. So if you're listening to this, I hope that you are out on a walk enjoying some much needed alone time, or that you are resting in the early mornings or whenever you can listen to this. I'm just thankful that you're here. I'm thankful that you're listening, and I'm so excited to share this week's episode of It's Time for Coffee with you. Y'all, we're kicking off a small series right here at the end of the year. This series is called Coming Soon. The next couple of weeks will be authors that all have books releasing early next year. Today we have former MLB player, 8-time All-Star, 4-time World Series champ, Mr. Daryl Strawberry. On top of all his MLB accolades, he's also a New York Times best-selling author, and his new book, Turn Your Season Around, is coming out January 12th. I was so excited to sit down and chat with Daryl as we talk about his faith, his coming to Jesus, and what he learned in the writing of this new book, and how revisiting some of these tougher parts of his stories helped him grow. This is such a deep and meaningful conversation, and I'm just so thankful that he shared his story with us. So friend, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey y'all, I'm so excited to be sitting down with a huge legend, Mr. Daryl Strawberry. Daryl, thank you so much for hanging out with me today.
Well, thank you for having me, Jeanette. I really appreciate, you know, taking out the time to, you know, really sit down and discuss some things with you.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun. And you're here to talk mostly about your new book coming out early next year. But we're going to talk about more than just that. So first, what's in your cup? What are you drinking this morning?
Drinking a bottle of water.
Drinking a bottle of water. You got to be hydrated.
Yeah. Not hydrated, but you know, I just like drinking water when I'm getting ready to sit down and do an interview. Of course, you drink coffee like early in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, got to get that caffeine first. When you're out and about and you grab coffee, what's your coffee order?
Pumpkin spice latte.
Ooh. What about when it goes out of season?
Well, just the regular latte.
Okay.
Vanilla caramel. But I prefer they keep it in season. Pumpkin spice is pretty good. It tastes good in the morning when you need that coffee.
Okay, so I told you before we started recording that my best friend's husband is a huge fan of yours. And so I said, Matt, give me some questions that I should ask Daryl Strawberry, because I'm not a huge baseball person, and so he has some really good questions. So, a little bit of background on their family. Their kids are obsessed with sports. Like, obsessed. They are such little natural athletes. It's such a fun thing to see. So, his first question is, as a young athlete, what role did your parents play, and how involved were they in pushing you or taking you to the next step in your athletic career?
Well, I was just raised by my mother, so
okay.
I didn't have a father figure in my life. So I had a lot of coaches in my life, and they had the greatest impact on me. My mother raised 5 of us, and she was pretty much busy trying to take care of us. And all the different coaches, along from Little League and to high school, they had a tremendous impact on me. And I'm really grateful for that, because sometimes I think parents get in the way. Instead of staying out of the way and let the coaches be able to coach your kid. Because my kids have played sports and they all been to D1 college. And everybody asks me, well, do you coach your kids? I goes, no, that's the coach's job to do. So, and it worked out pretty well. You know, my daughter's played at the highest level. My youngest daughter's at Boston College playing. So it's always important to let the coaches be the coaches, because the kid's going to have to go through what they need to go through, you know, the adversities they need to go through. And it's better that they go through it with coaches instead of, you know, having the parents, you know, having to make those decisions.
Yeah. And I think as a parent, it's really a cool thing to let somebody else step in on that role, and not necessarily always as a coaching role, but like we want other voices in our kids' lives, right? Like, we want them to have other voices other than just my voice sometimes speaking into them. I want them to hear summer camp coaches, or my son's a cross country runner, so I want him to hear his coach's voice sometimes, like urging them to do well in other areas of their life.
Yeah, it's very important to be able to have that so they could push you. You know, coaches will eventually have the greatest impact on kids' lives because they spend more time around them. Of course, they spend time home with family, and we shouldn't be coaching the kids about sports, you know, when we're home. We should coach them about real life and real challenges in life. And when they get to the ball fields, they're able to hear that from, you know, from their coaches and learn all the things they need to learn. And you, learning is learning life, too, is part of sports. You learn a lot of things in sports. You learn about, you know, who you're going to be friends with, you know, and don't try to pick sides, you know, and those kind of things are real in sports, you know, and you have to learn how to, you know, kind of fit in together, you know, especially when you become a part of a team.
Absolutely. Who had the biggest influence on your life spiritually?
My mother.
Okay.
My mother had the biggest influence on my life spiritually because she lived a Christian life the whole time, you know, the whole time that I was living, you know, the life I was living. She was a faithful woman, and she actually prayed for all of us that God would save us, and it came to pass. I'm so grateful for that.
Sometimes, and I mean, as a mom, I hope this, but I think as a daughter, my mom's prayers are heard by the Lord more than anything.
No question. Mothers do pray. That's one thing I could say, and that's important, you know, for families to understand that moms are the heart of the family, because dads have to work and they have to push and they have to go drive themselves to be the best they could be, so you can be there to provide for your family. So mothers are always there with the kids. And what is the foundation that you want to leave? See, I'm sitting here today as a product of my mother because she left a great legacy. She left a legacy that Jesus is Lord. You know, I wouldn't be who I am today had it not been for her prayers.
I love that. That's beautiful. And I think sometimes as moms, speaking as a mom in the throes of motherhood, I have a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 10-year-old. So I'm like, oh my gosh. But thinking about the legacy I want them to have in remembrance of me, or the life I want them to lead, I think that sometimes the best thing I can do is walk away and pray, or walk away and pray.
Yeah, I mean, because I think, you know, really leaving the foundation is not pointing to them, not pointing God to them, you know, as you're being an example of who God is in your life makes a difference, because that's what made the difference in my life. Watching my mother, she never thumped the Bible over our heads. She just lived it and didn't force us to, you know, yet you got to go to church. And, you know, it was her lifestyle, and we saw her lifestyle, and her lifestyle was joyful. Yeah. So when you remember the joy that she had, she wasn't living for all these earthly things. My mother passed at a very early age, at the age of 55. She had terminal breast cancer. So, you know, we saw her live for the joy of the Lord, and it really left an example of what we're supposed to be like. And, you know, I'm just glad that it came to pass for all my brothers and sisters, and we all end up being saved because of that.
I love that. That's a beautiful legacy to leave and to encourage you guys with, as you all have your own families. Your newest book is called Turn Your Season Around: When God Transforms Your Life. So can you talk a little bit about the transformation that God played in your life?
No question. I mean, I've written books before. You know, I have my autobiography has been out as New York Times bestseller when I wrote that, and that was my life story. But this book here was, everybody was waiting, well, when are you going to write the next book? And I really had no idea of writing another book. I just didn't want to write another book. I've seen myself, and I said, well, I've done this before. Why do I need to do it again? And my wife kept telling me, well, God has put it on your heart, because God kept putting it on my heart. And this was before even the pandemic hit. And he kept putting this book on my heart. I said, God kept putting this book on my heart for years about writing how God transforms a life. And what's the title? Turn Your Season Around. Little did I know that we would have to be coming out of a pandemic and a crisis in our country, you know, with everything, racial issues and everything that we would have to come to a place of turning our season around and realizing that there's only one person can turn your season around, and it's Christ himself. You know, we can debate and we can battle all we want as people, but in the natural, you could talk and try to do things in the natural. But, you know, I realized that God was supernatural, because that's what God did in my life. You know, most people never saw the transformation of my life. They only heard about it. So in this book, I really dive into what scriptures are and the importance of knowing scriptures. And the Bible talks about it, how it talks about my people perish because of lack of knowledge. There's no understanding of God's word. They don't know it. So that's why people perish. They say, well, I know his name, but you don't know his word. You don't know scriptures. So turn your season around. It's jam-packed with biblical principles, practical, but biblical principles of how God transformed your life, how God meets you right where you're at, you know, all your broken pieces, because we're all broken pieces. We're all sinners. We all fall short. And he didn't say some. He said we all will fall short. And how do we get up? How do we get up and redeem ourselves, you know? But we don't redeem ourselves by ourselves, because first thing, God has to rescue you, and then he redeems you, and he restores you. You know, so there's a three-part there that has to take place, and that was the three parts that took place in my life, and that's the three parts that have to take in everybody's lives. You know, they have to be rescued first, and then redeemed by his blood, and then restored with his grace. So Turn Your Season Around is a book that that is probably the most important book I probably will ever write in a season that we all have walked in, because we walked into it together as a country. It's not just one, two people. It's every last one of us. Pandemic, everything. How do you turn your season around? How do you get up? How do you keep going? How do you believe? How do you trust? You know, if you put your trust in man, then you lose. If you put your trust in the word of God, you win every time. So I'm really excited about this book more than anything.
And that's very apparent. Like, your face just lit up. You were so passionate. And I love that. I love that when God calls us to do something, it's deep within our souls, right? Like there's something about it. And so I just want to read a little clip that I got, and it says, and Turn Your Season Around, you say, it doesn't matter whether your life is soaring or slumping, winning or losing, victory in Christ is possible. I know this because Jesus tells us so in John 16:33. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, and I have overcome the world. God can turn your season around for good, for his glory, because he did it for you. And he can do it for me. So I think that's so beautiful, because today is actually election day, and this will air later. But we know that today God is the same as he will be in the future when this airs. And I think that that is where our hope lies. Like, there will be trials. There will be tribulation. We will need God to turn our season around every day of our lives, right? Like, it's not just during this pandemic, but it's every single day. We have to, like, submit, okay, God, turn my life around, because without him, we're lost.
That's a good thing. Yeah, that's a good thing about it, because God has something new every day, you know, and you don't get to experience it unless you enter in with him. And I think a lot of times most people don't enter in with God. They enter on the outside, and they look for God's hand instead of God's heart.
Yeah.
You know, they look for the handout, what God's going to do for me. No, what are we going to do for God? You know, yeah. And this is where the country has gone wrong, because we want somebody to do something for us, but we won't do for God. And God tells us, obey my commandments, mm-hmm. follow my principles. And then you can live the abundant life that I'm here to give you. The promises of God, Jeanette, will never change.
Yep.
The promises of God are real, you know, because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you become a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now you get to know where you come from. You get to know what land you come from and what land you eat from. So I think so many of us are trying to eat from this earthly land instead of the spiritual kingdom land that God has for us. And I think that's why so many Christians miss it. I don't know, understand why so many of them don't have the joy. What happens is, if you never go deep, you'll never know how good God is.
Right.
It's not until you go deep into his word that's when you realize how good he really is.
Yeah, man. Amen. So in your book, you talk about examples from your own life of how God changed your life around, how he was good and faithful in his saving grace and all of those things. But that means you had to go back and kind of relive those moments. What was that like for you?
Well, it was pretty cool. It's pretty cool to go back, and it's not always good when you end those moments because they're very hard times, and you don't know who you are and what direction you're in. And it's not until you actually come out of those moments and then you experience God's grace. See, this is what I love about it more than anything, because that's 2 Corinthians 12:9. He talks about when he says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness." So we have to understand in our weakness, he is strong in us.
Yeah.
And if we learn that part about his strength and about his grace, now we're able to fulfill the promises over our life from the hard places that we come from. Because guess what? Nobody ever promised to us in this life that everything was going to be like just smooth sailing, that was never going to be any troubles, that there were never going to be any trials, there were never going to be any tribulations. Well, if there's no trials and tribulations, why are we here?
Right.
You know, we would all be joyful together, but that doesn't happen. So that means the trials and tribulations, we have to endure them and we have to go through them. Oh, I love this point about, you know, I always tell people when I'm preaching, and I don't mean to sound preachy, but it's like you got to go through to get to where God's trying to get you, you know? And I think that's the hard part that a lot of folks don't want to do. They don't want to go through to get to where they need to get, you know? And if they can accept that part, that failure, and being a ball player like I was, I learned it early in my age, playing ball. Failure is a part of being successful. If you can accept the failure part, then you can be successful.
Yeah.
If you can't accept the failure part, and life, you know, in your walk in life too, then you can never be successful in your Christian walk. And, you know, Christians need to get more in tune to God's word and God's will instead of God's hand.
Yeah. And I think that comes from the almost like if we're only looking at his hand and what he can give us, then we're looking to him as a genie. And like, I want. But if we're looking at it from God's word saying like, okay, God, I'm going to pursue you, your will for my life. And when those things line up, that there's a really sweet spot there where it's like, you know, exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ever ask or imagine. Well, when we are aligned with God's will in that, then our like vision is kind of connected with the Lord's. And it's like, oh my gosh, I had no idea that that's what you wanted from me. And that's what I want from me. And like this, that's where the magic happens.
Well, it lines up, you know, and that's the point you just talked about. That's a great point right there. You know, it lines up with everything that he talks about. But as people, do we line up?
Right.
And I think that's the problem with so many of us. That's why so many Christians continually fall short, because they don't line up, you know, in his plan and his purpose. You know, they rather have it their way. They want instant gratification. If I don't see it now, it's not going to happen. Well, let me tell you something, people that are listening to this. I want you to understand, I didn't get like this overnight. God sat me for 7 years when he brought me back. Mm. When my wife led me back to the cross, God sat me for 7 years. There was nothing from God, and I needed to be discipled. And I'm glad that I went through that process, because I think so many people never go through that process of being discipled. And that's why so many people don't stay with God. And that's why today, you know, I God knows he can trust me after sitting me for 7 years. Now he calls me, and he calls me to be a preacher. And I never went to school. I'm not even qualified to be a preacher. But God qualifies a call from sitting and studying and growing and understanding that his way is better than your way. Mm-hmm. And if people can ever get that, they will eventually become victorious, if they can ever get that part. I think too many of us don't never get that part, because we always want it our way, and we want it now. If it doesn't happen now, then that means it's never going to happen. Well, I'm going to tell you, I sat for 7 years without nothing, and it was just going to church, going to Bible study, growing, and then one day God spoke to me and he says, okay, now I'm going to release you. He said, because I didn't want to release you because if I ever put you in a pulpit, preach, and you wasn't equipped, the enemy's going to put a chokehold on you and he's going to kill you. Mm-hmm. People think this is, and most people think this is a game. This is not a game. This is nothing to play with. This is very serious business with God. And when you understand that, I'm so grateful that I had to go through everything that I had to go through to get to this point. And then to come back and write a book like this that would just have a tremendous impact about how God will transform your life, because he's waiting to transform your life, but you just got to go through the process.
Mm-hmm. What did discipleship look like for you in that season? Like, was it just Bible study? Did you have mentors? What did it look like?
It was more about just the Bible study. I was, you know, the pastor that was, that's your discipleship, you know, and you can go to small groups, you know, and grow in those too and learn to grow. But you have, when you go into small groups, you got to focus on you. You can't focus on everybody else. You can't, because everybody's coming into small groups and everybody's got some kind of issues.
Yeah. Everyone's broken. You know, yeah.
Because, yeah. It's a society with issues, you know. So you got to remember the most important thing when you're in a small group is to focus on the Word of God. You know, it's the Word of God. Faith come by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Romans 10:17. That's where faith come by, hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And I think, Jeanette, not enough people hear the Word of God. You know, they hear everything else. They hear the problems, and they want to try to fix the problems. Well, I can tell you this, everything that can kill us, Jesus already killed it on the cross.
Amen.
So, I mean, he's the problem solver, but I think most people don't trust that process and they don't allow him to be the problem solver that he is, that will lead you. And that's what discipleship is really all about, is growing and growing into yourself, growing and knowing who you are, and also trusting it. And I would tell most people, when you start to grow, stay in your lane. Don't try to be like nobody else. God has made us so unique of our own self. And too many of us want to be like somebody else. We want to sound like somebody else. He didn't call us for that. You know, he called you to be you, me to be me. And that's what people have to learn. If you learn to be you, that's how you get discipled. And that's how you really grow in God.
Yeah. One of my favorite things to say, and it's something that, like, the Lord just kind of like hit me over the head in a kind way. He's such a kind God.
Yeah.
But I remember praying and being like, Lord, just change me. Make me who you want me to be. Just make me the version of you that you want me to be. And I've said this on the podcast many times, like, but it was this like very clean cut woman with a tight, like, you know, a bun on top of my head, but like a very nice and clean bun. As you can see, my hair is kind of wild. So like that, like, clean bun just wasn't like, that was like, oh, I'm really in like a nice pencil skirt and like helping my kids' classrooms and being like a teacher. And like, that was the vision of who I thought God wanted me to be. And I'm like, Lord, make me her, just transform me. Come on, make me her. And so sweetly he said, I made you the way I wanted you. Like, I made you to be you. I like you the way you are. Do we all need some transformation? Do we all need some reckoning? Yes. But God's like, but I literally, like, I made you this way for a reason. And I was like, oh, like, you like me. And then in the last few months, I've just heard that verse over and over, like, the Lord delights in you. He finds great delight in his children. And I'm like, okay, we don't serve a God who makes mistakes. We serve a good and holy God. So owning who we are called and made to be, and then growing in that person, like one-on-one with the Lord, like, I really believe there's nothing holier than that.
There's nothing greater, real. You know, it's part of life and everything, because we all have, but not trying to be something else. And that's what God doesn't want us to be.
Yeah.
You know, I think too many of us put ourselves in this place where we got to be, wow, I got to be better than them. No one is better than the next person. And, you know, that's where we all go wrong. Are there better circumstances or situations, lifestyles of living? Yeah, but that doesn't really define who you are in Christ. Who defines you? What defines you, who you are in Christ, is how you live according to God's ways and the way he has made you. And I think too many Christians, they put too much up on their faith and their walk with God instead of just being themselves. Because God, I learned, you know, that I didn't have to be all this. I didn't have to go to school to be able to have biblical knowledge. You know, I eventually got it supernatural by the power of the Holy Spirit. That just shows you, you know, you don't have to go to school to be a scholar. You know, there are people that have to go that way that God's called them for different things, but God calls all of us, and we just all have to be ready. And are you prepared to carry your cross? That's what it is, you know, more than anything. Can you bear and carry your cross from the things that you're going to suffer, you know, throughout this lifestyle, you know? And when I really learned that part of myself, and I didn't learn it by myself. I learned it through my mother praying for me. And then I learned it to my wife. I always laugh because I say, God's got a great sense of humor. He used two women to straighten me out. That is incredible, you know, you think about that. Yeah, because that's what he does. You know, that's what he does. He's going to use people.
Yeah.
And whatever it may be, it could be a woman, it could be a child, whatever it is, he's going to use somebody to bring about the correction that he needs to bring to you so he can fulfill his promises in you.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now, a message from a network supporter.
Hey, today's episode is sponsored by our friends at Faithful Counseling. So let's get real for a second. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? I know for many of us that can be anxiety, depression, fear, or even broken relationships. These are all things that can be holding us back. But this is where Faithful Counseling comes in. Faithful Counseling is a worldwide counseling service that is making professional counseling accessible, affordable, and convenient so anyone and everyone can face life's challenges and get help anytime, anywhere. Faithful Counseling offers four different ways that you can connect with a licensed counselor. You can sit down for video calls, phone calls, live chats, or instant messaging. Every counselor on Faithful Counseling is licensed by their respective state board and has over 3,000 hours of experience. If you think Faithful Counseling is for you, you can sign up today and be matched with your counselor in 24 hours or less. Faithful Counseling is helping us live our healthiest lives in the comfort and safety of our own homes. Be sure to check out Faithful Counseling at faithfulcounseling.com/JeanetteTapley. And now back to today's show. When people read your book, when it comes out early next year, what is your biggest hope for them?
That they come to a place in understanding and have a real relationship with Christ and have about a transformation, because it's all about the transformation. The book is going to lead you into how God transforms your life. He meets you right where you're at, where met me in every battlefield that I was in, from the dope house to the jailhouse to having cancer twice and losing my left kidney, just to show that I'm a living miracle, because that's what God does. He saves people and he changes them and transforms them, and he transforms them into what he wants them to be, not what you want to be. I think a lot of times we think it's what we want to be, but I realized that God wanted to transform me into what he wanted me to be. And when I was willing to accept that, Jeanette, that's when the real miracle happened. Because when you're really fully ready to accept and allow him to transform you into what he wants you to be instead of what you want to be, then you operate in such a different capacity. You operate in the great love and the great compassion, because Jesus is like, he's like love, you know, he's just like love you. He don't care if you're broken or not, you know. It's looking like David was a womanizer. He said he's a man. God said he's a man after my own heart. You know, you think about all the people. Moses had a speech impediment. God used him mightily to lead the Israelites out of bondage. And you think about King Solomon, I love King Solomon because he was the wise, richest man in Jerusalem. But he goes back and he lives in sorrow because he didn't obey God. He's telling us in the book of Ecclesiastes to follow God. Don't change. Because everything is meaning under the sun without God. He's telling you, he's saying, I had all this. You know, he probably had more earthly things than anybody would come to the earth and have.
Yeah.
You know, and he's saying it's all meaningless at the end of the day without God under the sun. So you got to take heed to that stuff, you know. And
amen.
I think a lot of times a lot of folks don't take heed to that. They think, oh, well, those are just stories. No, those are going to be some real realities coming too.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about your story and how you were raised by a single mom, how you fought your way to the MLB, to you were, like you mentioned, dope house and in prison. Could you ever imagine that God would use you in this way? Like anything that we could ask, exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ask or imagine. Like, that's what I'm thinking of, like looking at your story, thinking like, God, you took somebody and are using them in such a miraculous way. Like just so cool. So could you imagine?
No, you know, it's the commitment, you know, and I think that's what has to happen in the heart of a person. When you get serious with God, when you commit to God, and that's that 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name, you know, will humble themselves and pray and seek after him, and then you turn. He tells us to turn from those wicked ways. See, when you turn from the wicked ways of the world and you turn into his plan, then he will hear from heaven and heal their sin, because God has to heal us because we're sinners. Yep. And we're saved by grace. And once he heals you, now he allows you to be new, and you're a new creature. You know, the old things are passed away, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and you become new, and then you mm-hmm. become new at everything you do. You become new as you talk, you become new. You think all the friends you have, the so-called friends, guess what? When you start following Jesus, they're going to go this way. They're going to scatter, because now you become a new person. You don't talk worldly things. You're not into the worldly conversation. And they'd be like, oh, you changed. You all about that Jesus now. It's like, yeah, I'd rather be on this side than being on that side, because I've already been on that side. I know it's no winning on that side. I know every person is going to go through their own situations, is going to have to carry their own cross at some point in time. And I'm thank God that I had to carry my own cross, because it led me to the cross.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the good part about it. You know, you carrying your cross leads you to the cross, and that brings you to a place of wholeness and righteousness, and liberated and redeemed and back in right standards.
So good. So in Ecclesiastes, it talks about there's a time for everything under the sun. Right now, it's time for coffee because we're on a podcast. What is it time for in your life right now? Like, as you are promoting the book and as you're really living into the calling that God has for you, what is it time for?
It's time to win souls.
Amen.
I think more than anything at this time, you know, especially as we talk today, like you say, it's election day. Whichever way it's going to turn out, it's going to be problems on either side. People are going to be frustrated. People are never going to be happy, and souls are going to be lost. You know, God's calling voices to rise up that talks about the kingdom that will lead them back. And you know, when we saw the protesting going on, everybody saying, "Well, they were peaceful." No, they weren't peaceful. You know, it was problem. You know, and the problems are real. And you know why? Because of brokenness. And brokenness is real. Yeah. And only God can heal that. And only God's going to be able to heal this nation and people. And it's going to be a need for a great response, a great revival to come back into this nation, for this nation, for people to repent and them to see God, them to see his presence, you know, just flow over the country and change about things. So that's the time I'm looking at now. I'm not looking at, I've achieved everything I could achieve from an earthly standpoint, but boy, I'm so thirsty and hungry for achieving kingdom work and winning souls and bringing people back. So, because you could imagine if how many people's lives you could touch that God will save and they will never have to enter an eternal hell, because I don't think people believe it's a place like that.
Yeah, I was just thinking when we're talking about like praying for our land and praying for our nation, when the pandemic first started, I remember just praying that verse, like, Lord, you know, like if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I'll heal their land. And I just kept praying that over and over, like, okay, God, like, here we are, like, we are going to humble ourselves. And then everything that's happened since, I believe that he is in the process of healing our land, but I also believe that in doing so, he's bringing forth our idols. And so as a country, as a world, we are seeing idols just kind of like fling up, and we're like, oh, no, 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 no. We like that idol. We're not going to we're going to keep that one, or, oh, no, 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 we're going to keep this one. And and so he's like, hey, you're asking for my healing. Like, I'm God, I can do this. Like, could you let me? And we're like, no, 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 we like to worship this one. Oh, that one's kind of my favorite. So put that over here. We're not making room for the Lord to really, really heal our land. And so when you're just talking about, like, hey, like, there is a call for healing, and there's a call to repent, and there's a call to fully turn around and serve our Lord. I've never done this, but would you, if you're willing, share the plan of salvation real quick? Like, I just feel like that's a need. I feel like the Holy Spirit's just really, like, leading me to say, like, will you please share the plan of salvation with our listeners?
Yeah, because it's so important. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, who you are, where you're at, and where you're at in your life. God meets you right where you're at. And the call is to come to the cross, come to the altar, come and kneel yourself and ask God for forgiveness. And if that's you, where you're at, listening, wherever you may be in your life, in your walk, that God loves you. He's crazy about you. You're not a mistake. You know, you just made a bunch of mistakes. But the gospel of Jesus Christ changes you forever. It transforms you. It brings you to wholeness and right standards with God. All you got to do is make a step. I know the enemy has you in a place. He tries to hold all of us, but we rebuke that devourer right now in the name of Jesus. We make up on the call right now in the name of Jesus that you will ask God to forgive you. He's a forgiving God. He's a loving God. He's an understanding God. But most of all, he's a merciful God. He is merciful right where you at, whatever it may be. Just come to him and say you're sorry. He understands. You know, like I said before, we all have fallen short. But Romans 8:28 says, and we know all things, not some things, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, to those called according to his purpose. We are his people. We're called according to his purpose. I don't know, somewhere along the enemy slivered in and led us down the wrong road and made us make wrong turns and bring about, you know, hateful ways and hateful things to other people. But God says, come back, repent, and I'll restore you. And even for those Christians who have walked away, who have been cold, God's calling you back home, saying, come back home, jump in my wagon. You're on the wrong boat. You're on the wrong side. You've been jumping in the wrong boat. Jump in this wagon here. I have something great for you. I have a purpose for you. I know you struggled. I know you've turned away because of all these worldly things and the enemy has deceived you. But in Matthew 4:4, he tried to deceive Jesus too. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is the word of God that he is telling you that proceeds out of his mouth that will feed you, heal you, restore you, bring you back to wholeness and righteousness. God loves you. He's got a perfect plan for your life. Don't quit. Don't give up. Come back and ask for forgiveness.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Man. Yeah, I just feel like that was just necessary. I really do. And I, you know, we are firm believers that if one person heard that and turned their life around to the Lord, that's all that matters.
Well, we obey that. You know, if you feel that in your spirit and God calls for that upon that moment, you know, you do it. We just obey it and we do it because, you know, we know God's going to use it to touch somebody's life.
Mr. Daryl Strawberry, this has been so great. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. Your book is available January 21st.
January 12th.
I mixed those numbers. January 12th. I'm so excited about it. I think that it is going to be life-changing for many. I know there's men in my community who are very excited for this to come out. I'm excited for it to come out. But I know that this, I just look at your story and I'm just so thankful that you have followed the Lord's will for your life. That you have a voice that will carry across stadiums. And I'm just so thankful for that.
Well, thank you. I'm thankful for God's grace. And yeah, it comes out January 12th. You can go to Amazon.com, turn your season around. You know, it's a book it's not about me. It's about God.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I want people to understand. You know, they could look at me and say, well, yeah, a lot of people don't know my life is different, but it's about what God will do in your life if you just trust him. You know, and I think people need to get to that place, back to that place. Trusting God and believing God instead of believe in all the noise that they're hearing.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, thank you so much for your time today. There was just something that Daryl said that really stuck out to me. And as women who, you are mostly women who listen to the show, as women and moms, I wanted to remind us that he said his mom and his wife's prayer really changed his life. And I love that he said that because I think it's really important for us to focus in on our prayer lives for our family, for our friends, for our loved ones, and really be praying and bringing them to the feet of Jesus. So I'd love to challenge you in that this year. Bring your people to Jesus. Don't stop praying for them. Don't give up. I think it really matters. I loved how Daryl had so much scripture just on the tip of his tongue and how he just reminds us over and over that our weaknesses can be made strong. What a beautiful story. I'm so thankful to know Daryl, but not as the MLB star that he is. I'm thankful to know Daryl as the evangelist that he is. I'm so thankful that he spent his time with us, and I hope that you have a great day. See you next week when it's time for coffee. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.